Well, welcome everybody to the fourth week of our series on how to be happy. Everyone wants to be happy. The question is how. That's what this series is about. So far, we've talked about being happy by building your life on the right foundation, a foundation of faith and not fear. We also looked at having the right heart. The happiest people are the ones who open their hearts to serve and love others with generosity. And last week, we said that happiness comes when you have the right center in your life. When you make Jesus the center of your life, you can face any burden, handle any pressure, and overcome any problem with hope and optimism, because you'll know that he's right there next to you, helping you carry the load. Today, we're going to look at another important decision for happiness. I want to talk with you today about the right perspective. Happy people have the right perspective in life. Two people can share the same experience. One sees obstacles while the other sees opportunities. One struggles with adversity, scarcity, while the other hopes for abundance. One focuses on defeat while the other looks forward to victory. And one perceives limitations while the other anticipates growth. The difference is a matter of perspective. When you focus on the negative, the downside of a situation, that's all you're going to see. And you won't be happy and wonder why you're not happy. And when you look at a challenging circumstance and catastrophize about all the horrible things that can happen, you're never going to appreciate how God is using that problem to move you forward to a better place, a higher level. When you're always comparing yourself to other people, you know, she's got everything, I have nothing, he's so successful, I'm a failure. When you're always comparing yourself to other people, you're going to miss the biggest blessings in your own life. When you assume the worst, you can't hope for the best. And when you obsess over what you don't have, what's missing in your life, you're going to block the great potential that God has put in you. But it doesn't have to be that way. Because when you start looking at your life the way God does, you'll start having the right perspective. A few years ago, our parish secretary, some of you have been here for a while, probably remember her, Diana, she unfortunately moved to North Carolina. It was a big loss, and people here are still, you know, grieving that loss, so to speak. They miss her dearly. But I remember when she was in the process of moving, she ran into a problem. She had two cats, but could only take one cat on the plane. In fact, there could only be one cat on the entire plane for anybody. The airlines are smart. But anyway, she could only take one cat on the plane with her, so she asked if I might consider taking the other cat, Cindy Lou, on a separate flight. Being the kind and loving person that I am, of course, I said yes. So Diana dropped Cindy Lou off to spend the night in the guest room of the rectory, and the next morning, I was supposed to administer, you know, a sedative to keep Cindy Lou calm on the plane. Well, when I came down at 4 a.m. for our 6 a.m. flight, Cindy Lou was nowhere to be found. I looked everywhere, under the bed, behind the furniture, in every corner of the room. I thought, oh no, this cat has somehow escaped and Diana is going to kill me. But finally, I spotted Cindy Lou way in the back of the closet, hiding under some blankets, scared to death. And when I reached to pull her out, of course, she scratched all over my hands and my arms, and I ended up chasing that darn cat around that little room for 30 minutes before I finally caught her, administered the sedative, got the job done, and then we hopped into an Uber together, headed for the airport, happy that the worst was over. Except it wasn't. When we arrived, the reservation agent told me that there had been a change in the flight, that not only was the plane departing from a different gate, it was departing from a whole different terminal. And by the way, the whole people moving system was down. The AirTran was down, and it was two terminals away, and I would have to hoof it if I was going to make it. So here I am, running through the airport like a madman, through the parking lot tunnels, cat carrier slung over my shoulder, pulling the carry-on luggage behind me. I must have looked insane. Finally, we arrived at the security checkpoint, and I was huffing and puffing, but I was happy because I looked at the watch and I knew that we would be on time, barely on time for the flight if nothing else went wrong. But of course it did, because the nice TSA agent told me that I had to take Cindy Lou out of the bag and hold her in my arms to go through the metal detector while the bag went through the X-ray machine. I thought, are you serious right now? I mean, I had visions of chasing that cat through the whole terminal. I couldn't believe it. But of course he was serious. So he took us to this private screening room, and let's just say the sedative had not yet taken full effect, such that more chaos ensued inside that little room. Well, finally, when the inspection was over, which was just of this bag that had nothing in it, but anyway, when the inspection was over, the officer told me to put the cat back in the bag, and he walked off. I looked at him like he had two heads. Well, finally, I got her back in the bag, you know, with more scratches, and we made it to the gate just in the nick of time as the doors were closing. But wait, that's not the end of the story. When we arrived, when the plane landed and we arrived at the airport 3,000 miles away, there was another surprise waiting for us. Standing in the arrivals lobby of the airport in full uniform, polished black leather dress shoes, white gloves, and a chauffeur's cap, was a limousine driver holding a sign saying, "Welcome to Atlanta, Cindy Lou." When I finally stopped laughing, I handed him the cat, and that nice man took her to the rest of the way, a two-hour drive to North Carolina, where she was finally reunited with her loving owner, probably traumatized for life. Now me, if it was me, I would have given the cat away, dropped her off at the Humane Society, dumped her in a remote location. But hey, I'm not a cat person, and apologies to any of you who are cat people. But looking back on that, I realized that Diana had the right perspective. For her, Cindy Lou was family, and of course was worth every penny of that first class trip. Here's the principle. What Diana saw in that cat, Cindy Lou, God sees in you and in your life, but infinitely more. In today's gospel, Jesus told a story about a farmer who went out to sow seed. But this farmer did not think carefully about where he was throwing the seed. He didn't just plant it in good soil. He scattered it everywhere, on rocky ground, among thorns, and even on a path that didn't have any soil on it at all. No self-respecting farmer would have done that. The seed was expensive. It wasn't cheap. But this farmer was wildly optimistic. He didn't stop to run the calculations or consider his return on investment or perform a cost-benefit analysis. And that's because this farmer represents God. And the seed is his word. And the ground is your life. And no matter how rocky your life might be right now, or how little soil you might have, or how many worldly cares and distractions you might be facing that could choke that seed like thorns, from God's perspective, you can still produce an abundant harvest for Him. He knows your potentials. He sees possibilities where you and I often only see problems. It doesn't matter how far off track you may feel, or how far gone you may think you are, or how many mistakes you've made. Like a good farmer, God is nurturing that seed in you. He's planted gifts and graces and blessings that you can't even see right now. You don't even know about them because they are still underground. But one day, like a little seedling, they are going to sprout and grow, push up through the soil, and develop into a full-grown plant bearing beautiful fruit for God. The key is having the right perspective. Seeing yourself and your life the way God does. The wrong perspective blocks growth. But the right perspective says, I know God is sowing good seed in my life, even though I can't see the harvest yet. Even though I can't see the harvest yet. What you focus on in life is what's going to grow in your life. Some people, all they focus on are the problems, the delays, the disappointments. But that's like not having enough water for a plant to grow. Or they're constantly worried about their health, their job, their kids. But that's like not having enough sunlight. Or they go around fearful of the future, afraid to take reasonable risks or reach new levels. But that's like locusts coming and devouring the whole harvest. With that perspective, the crop can easily wither and die. But God is always speaking, always pointing to fresh growth, fresh opportunities, and a fresh harvest. And that's why he's always caring for that seed in you. Today's first reading says, "From the heavens, the rain and snow come down and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful." In the same way, God's promises will never fail. His blessings of abundance will never disappoint, and what he has planted in you will never fall short. Like the snow and the rain, what God has spoken over your lives is not going to return to him void. Instead, as he says, "It shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it." God knows the good seed he has planted in you, and he knows that it has the power to turn obstacles into opportunities, problems into productivity, and setbacks into great setups for success. Maybe you're praying for a child or a grandchild. Maybe you're dealing with a loss, grieving over a loss, or praying for your marriage, trying to save your marriage, or maybe some other problem in your life, and you look at it and you wonder why nothing's happening because you can't see any results yet. Isaiah would say, "Don't judge the harvest too soon. The rain is still falling. The snow is still coming down. The soil is still good. The seed is still growing." Even when illness, suffering, and death entered our world, even when creation and the entire natural order fell along with humanity itself, Paul says in today's second reading, God didn't lose hope. He knew what was going to happen. You and I look at the world and we think things are falling apart. People we love keep getting sick. Relationships break up. Dreams die. People suffer. We only see what Paul calls futility in this world. But God has a different perspective. He knew that one day creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. From the very beginning, God had a plan to redeem us. And not just us, but the whole world and everything in it. And yes, that includes dogs and maybe cats, I guess. But Paul had the same perspective. He knew the world wasn't passing away. It was simply getting ready to give birth to something amazing. That's why he said, "I consider that the sufferings of this present life, of this present times, are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us." The damage, the decay, the problems in this world, the challenges in your life, they are not the end of the story. They are the beginning of a new chapter of redemption. And how you choose to see it is a matter of perspective. A friend of mine, many of you probably know her, we'll just call her Michaela to protect the innocent. She took a stunning swan dive a few years ago, all dolled up with a full-length evening gown, dressed to the nines, hair carefully coiffed, makeup heavily applied, excited for a fun evening on the town with her daughter. She stood at the top of the stairs of one of the finest restaurants in the city, ready to make her grand entrance. The mistake she made was wearing stiletto heels that night. Ladies, let this be a cautionary tale. Those things are dangerous. I've never tried them, but I think they're dangerous. Anyway, unfortunately, Michaela missed a step in those heels, and what was intended to be a flamboyant entry suddenly turned into a showstopper of a whole different kind. She went tumbling down the entire flight of stairs to the very bottom. The entire restaurant gasped in shock and horror. Waiters came running over while she lay sprawled there helplessly. But if you know Michaela, you know that somehow she managed to pick herself up, hobble over to the nearest table, and proceed to enjoy a fabulous meal. Only later did she realize that she did some real damage, and it would take almost a year to heal. But she never felt sorry for herself. She never blamed anyone else. She never rued the day she was born. She never lost hope, and she never gave up. Instead, she kept helping people like she does day in and day out, except now she was rolling around on a wheelchair. She kept serving here at St. Hilary, limping around on crutches. She kept being a bright light to so many people, as she always does. How could she do that through all that pain and limitation? You know the answer. She had the right perspective. You may look at your life and think, that seed's never going to grow. You don't see anything happening. The ground looks empty. But as I said, God sees possibilities where you and I often only see problems. The seed is still growing. The rain is still falling. The harvest is still coming. Believe in the power of the sower. A seed may in the ground may look dead to you, but just beneath the surface, God is already at work in you. Have the right perspective, and you will have happiness.